Richard Justice, I certainly recognize. A decade plus now, senior correspondent, MLB.com. Regular morning lineup podcast contributor. All things MLB. And occasionally a little local radio like right now. Richard, it's been a few weeks. 1 to 10 scale, if we were playing Trivial Pursuit Metallica, where do you think you'd grade yourself? And do you have any idea they had a song and Justice for All?
No, I didn't. Probably a 1. Although, you know what I remember about them is David Wells always turned it up very loudly on the day he was pitching. The pitcher gets to pick the clubhouse music. And it was brutal if you went into the hard metal rock. And during a Yankees clubhouse celebration, George Steinbrenner, drenched in champagne, goes, "I'm even starting to like that group, Metallic."
Just Metallic. Sadly, I increasingly can relate to that kind of remark. But, of course, Enter Sandman, all those years with Mariano Rivera, Billy Wagner. That would be your signature Metallica song. All right, so Richard, other than obviously October baseball flying in the face of what I'm about to say, could we just call off the rest of the season and put the Astros and Dodgers in the World Series? Do you think they've pretty clearly elevated again? Or are you buying on the Cubs? Will the Nationals ever come remotely close to living up to advanced billing? And then I guess we can go American League after that.
Yeah, no on the Nationals. Something's wrong there. And I was just thinking, like, if you're in charge of the Nationals and you need a shock to the system, I know what I would do. I would call Buck Showalter today. You know, look, he's going to wear out his welcome in a while, but I don't know a guy. That's beside the point. Here's my I wrote a column today on the five favorites, you know, look like favorites, you know, and that's the Cubs and the Dodgers, the Astros, Red Sox, and the Yankees. And they were all playing the way we thought they would, the way Chris Sale's pitching, the swings and misses he's inducing. He's got a chance. But I do agree with you that the Dodgers and the Astros are a step ahead of everybody else. The Astros are just amazing. Right now I'm doing what counts as a labor of love. I'm writing about George Springer. And we have a woman named Sarah Langs at Major League Baseball, and her Twitter follower is slangs on sports. She's unbelievable. And among the things she's written about is she's did a breakdown of George Springer. He on Baseball Reference, he had a 2.7 WAR in 2018. Whatever you think of that number, you know, it's some indication of who you are as a player. He's at 2.6 already this year. And she broke down the reason for that. He's more aggressive on the first pitch. His hard hit rate are through the roof. And I was talking to A.J. Hinch about this, and he goes, look, he gets on everybody. And you see his chatter as part of what we are as a team. But he's harder on himself than anybody I've ever seen. And the other part of that is, and his mom tweeted about this last night, George's mom, to understand what the Astros are and to understand what George Springer is, that slide in the home plate at the end of the inside the park home run, that said it all. That's why we love watching this baseball team play. You know, I've talked before, it's one thing to be good. You want to be good. But to be entertaining and have guys that look like they play with a certain joy. I have people ask me all the time, are they really like that? I say, yeah, they're really like that.
Yeah, and I'll add one other Springer moment. The Monday game was 8-1, and he's laying out to make a diving catch for the last out of the game. Springer is just otherworldly right now in a lineup that overall, Richard, is just going crazy with Altuve on the injured list and batting .243. It's certainly early, and the jacked-up baseballs are helping, but you know what? 29 other teams get to swing at them, too. No one else is even close when you get to OPS Plus and factor in ballparks, and I forget where I saw, so I can't give proper credit for it, but to this stage in the season, you know, when you account for the run scoring of this era and ballparks, this is the greatest offense in baseball history.
Yeah, and I think our StatCast people evaluated the same thing in going into the 2017 and 2018 season and quality of contact and all that stuff. There'd never been so much quality in one lineup. And you know, A.J. Hinch has told us in the past, when we're going really good, I can turn the lineup card upside down and get the same production. And that's what we're getting in that. You know, Ledesma Diaz, who was a guy that I wondered about him. The bottom line is, if Jeff Luno says he can play, he can play. And but he, you know, he had some really rough moments defensively for the Cardinals. He's been a godsend, you know, with Altuve out there, and now he's going to be able to spell different guys. When you're in a streak like this, you just ride it and enjoy the fun. Don't change the channel. If you change it, you come back, you're going to miss a Carlos Correa home run.
One quick little exercise I thought might be fun, Richard. And the Astros are on pace to tick over 900 runs. They were 899 2 years ago, but still not on pace to come close to 1,000 runs. Hey, right. maybe they'll pick it up further. The last 65 years, the 1999 Cleveland Indians, and we're into the peak of the steroid era at that point, that's the only team to score 1,000 runs. And I wanted to ask you, you know, that season's Cleveland Indians, how many of them would crack the Astros lineup? And I have them here. I wouldn't expect you to recall everybody off the top of your head. Einar Diaz behind the plate. Well, someone had to make outs for that Indians team, which goes to what you were saying about the depth of the lineup. Robinson Chirinos has been sensational so far this season, among many other catchers, better than JT Realmuto.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, let's see.
Tony Overguriel.
The obvious is I think Tony plays.
Roberto Alomar was awesome. So versus 2019 Altuve, I would take Roberto Alomar 1999. But if Altuve comes back and is healthy, let me spin that one this way to you, Richard. On the worry meter, barely a ripple or growing a little bit. Last year, right knee, now left hamstring, 29 years old, 5 years, $151 million kicking in next season on Altuve.
A little bit. I want to see him come back and be healthy. I mean, I think his hands are as quick as ever, and that's always been the thing he's had going for him. But it's a worry. And I guess even in a team, in a time when everything seems so good, you have to worry about something. Joey Votto said this spring, he goes, I got to have a good year, because if you have 2 years back-to-back that are not very good, then that's who you are. And I'm not convinced that that's who he is at this point. But when I heard he had taken himself out of the game, my first horrific thought was the knee. You know, that was pretty serious procedure he had. And having watched the struggles Dustin Pedroia has had coming back, you just don't know. But I want to see him come back and play. I have so much faith in the guy. I think he's going to end up, you know, hitting 410 the rest of the year. But you need to see it.
All right, back to the Indians thing. Left side of the infield, Omar Vizquel was just awesome to watch in the field. And that was actually his best season as a hitter, too. But
yep.
I'm pretty sure we're sticking with Correa over Vizquel and Bregman over Travis Freiman.
Yeah, to me, it's not even a close call. And I love Omar Vizquel. Defensively, and that was, as you said, his offensive. No, I'm taking our guys.
Is he a Hall of Famer for you? A Mazeroski of shortstops?
I haven't voted for him, but I would be completely comfortable if he got into the Hall of Fame. I've had a lot of talks with him actually about that. He said it's fun for me to see how people evaluate your career. You play a quarter of a century. And some people are going to like what you do, and some people are not. But, yeah, using the Mazeroski model, I would be perfectly comfortable with him getting in the Hall of Fame. He's one of those guys, when he walks by, he's held in a certain esteem, and that's what the Hall of Fame is all about. But, again, I haven't voted for him yet, but I don't have any particular argument against him.
All right, Indians outfield, they'd moved on from Albert Bell by then. So David Justice in left, really good, but geez, right. Michael Brantley. Kenny Lofton in center, really good, but George Springer. Manny Ramirez, at least in the batter's box, very easily over Josh Reddick, but everywhere else. But yeah, you'd have to take 1999 Manny, I guess.
Hey, look, the guy was a great player. And I got a bias against him because I don't like the way he maneuvered his exit out of Boston. But I did appreciate the way he kept coming back at the end of his career and trying to play. You'd be hard pressed not to take him.
So the everyday players, the only team in 65 years to score 1,000 runs, I think there are only three who'd crack the Astros lineup: Tomy,
right.
Alomar versus this year's Altuve, and Manny. Richie Sexson put up some numbers as a young DH for them. You've certainly taken him over Tyler White. If only the Astros had someone at 400 hitting 400 at AAA with power off the charts that they could call up a month from now to boost the lineup a little bit, Richard. And his name's not Kyle Tucker.
Yes, and that's the larger point. I think Jeff Luno had a cautious offseason. Now, you go get Michael Brantley, you can't really call it cautious. But what he did was he kept his powder dry. He has money to spend. He has prospects to trade. And you have the freedom of knowing you're going to win the American League West. So you have now 3 months to identify what you need going in. And you can make a move. And it was interesting to watch when they decided the time was right with Corbin Martin. And it'll be interesting to see what they do in terms of Alvarez or Tucker or Whitley or anybody like that. You know, right now it'd be hard-pressed to find anything that they need. But the farm system, you know, when the Cubs won in 2016, they tried to win again in 2017, 2018, and they depleted their farm system. The one thing Jeff Luno has done is be cautious in trades. He's not going to deplete the system. He wants to have enough to, A, sustain success, and, B, to make a move if you feel that there's a Justin Verlander out there that could have the same kind of impact that he had. So, you know, your immediate thing would you say, okay, they need all they need, possibly, and this is possibly, is one more starting pitcher, but I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah, and the two guys at the back of their bullpen have given up one run in like 36 innings combined.
Unbelievable.
It really is just off the charts, the depth organizationally and the top-tier talent that they do combine. So their current pace number is 106. What odds do you put on them breaking last year's franchise record of 103 at this point?
It's hard to do. I think they're going to do it, but AJ Hinch hates hearing that. And I'm sure he told you the same thing. It's not that easy to win 100 games, and we've done it in two back-to-back years. We're trying to do it a third straight year. It drives him crazy. You know, and I don't want us to get into a thing with the Astros where we don't enjoy the journey. You know, sometimes I feel like with the Rockets, it's you watch the regular season and you just go, okay, let's get to the Warriors. You know, I don't want it to be like that. I want to be able to enjoy every game. So I think we're still in that mode, but it's tempting to say, get us October and let's see what's going to happen then.
Dallas Keuchel, clearly no one's going to sign him until after the draft, or almost clearly at this point. Do you think he's going to have to settle for something just for the rest of this year, $10 million and prorated down from that? A gross misjudgment of the market between he and Boris. And I have to say, Dallas Keuchel, always thought pretty sharp guy, but not an economics major at Arkansas. If he keeps clinging to this, I want my fair market value. The market sets the value.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing about free agency. And as Commissioner Manfred said, a free market cuts both ways, and it can be a cold ride. I mean, Craig Kimbrell wanted a contract that no reliever had ever gotten, 6 years. And, you know, Dallas turned down $90 million, what was it, 3 years ago from the Astros. You know he had offers. Did he have offers that would match Pat Corbin, what Pat Corbin got from the Nationals? No, he did not. Obviously, that clearly is what he wanted. We're in a high spin rate, high velocity era, and that's not Dallas. Although he's really good. And I've been told the Astros a month ago, like, discussed a 1 year deal with him and a 2 year deal. He seems pretty adamant, as you said, to proving that his original asking price was right. So he's determined at this point to get something. And, you know, so many things can change between now and a month over drafts and all that. We'll see. I feel bad for him. On the other hand, you know, your market dictates your market. And so you can be bitter about it, but that is the market. And, you know, it's a reminder to these players considering extensions early in their career. You better think hard about it. And it's a reminder to players who get offers in November, like Marlon, but look hard at those offers in November, because that may be the best the market is. It's more uncertain than it's ever been before. And I was talking to Ryan Zimmerman in spring training. He said, I got renewed every year. I didn't care, because I knew my day was coming. He goes, younger players now are less certain that their day is coming. But it's hard for me to look at a guy like Alex Bregman and say he signed for a hometown discount or anything. He's going to be quite welcome. So.
Yeah, 100 million birds in the hand, however many might be in the bush, that's still pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and when Evan Longoria signed that first one that was so controversial with the Rays, they told him pretty much that if you're the player we think you are, not a good deal for you. But this does give you financial security. And Evan brushed off the criticism and said, my rule of thumb is when somebody offers you a fortune, you take it. Now, maybe you can get a bigger fortune later, but you take it.
All right, last thing for today,
let that
Rich.
Be a lesson to you, Charlie. You can write that down.
I am, as we speak, in fact. Last thing for you today, let's leave the Astros out of it. Let's say leave Mike Trout out of it, and let's leave Christian Yelich out of it. Three, or if you insist, four, or if you flat out demand as many as five guys today that if you're flipping around League Pass or just watching a game and they're coming up, you are watching that at bat.
Well, you know, what have you done for me lately? I'm going to watch Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Why not?
I mean, my God, he hit two balls. He hit two balls out of California last night. But yeah, if you take those guys out of it and take Springer out of it, because I'm going to watch. Springer is as enjoyable a player as I've ever seen. The young guys like Hunter Dozier with the Royals are really fun to watch. And Tatis when he comes back with the Padres. Luke Voit with the Yankees, Charlie, is pretty amazing. And anybody that plays for the Red Sox, Mookie Betts is a great player.
And Bryce Harper, if you'd like to say no one is ever worth 13 years and $330 million. Richard Justice, MLB.com, can find his podcast at work, podcast work as well. Hey, always appreciate the time and insight. Until we talk again, thanks.
Thank you, Charlie.